Tuakon High School Board Meeting, December 7th, 2019.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here at our board meeting. I was telling Stacy now that Hiram's not with us. We're starting late, and so now she needs to be our conscience to make sure we start on time. Welcome, everyone. Good to have you all here. Looking forward to another great report on what's happening at our school. We are going to, let's start with the minutes. So we circulated minutes to everyone for the September board meeting. Hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at those. Anybody have any questions, comments, proposed changes to the minutes?
Dead silence.
No, it's okay. This is take a look, and when somebody feels comfortable doing so, let us know if you have changes or if there's a motion to approve the minutes as proposed.
It looks good to me. I'll make that motion.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thanks, Sue. Any further discussion? Okay, so we do roll call votes here. So, Margaret, do you approve the minutes?
Yes, I have a question about the minutes of the special meeting on October 29th.
Okay, that's...
I would love to be one of the board members that got excused from that meeting.
Okay.
It wasn't listed.
Okay, we'll fix that. But as far as the minutes for the previous meeting of the school, you are you good with those minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Andy?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Stacy?
Yes.
All right. So that's unanimously approved. Thanks, everybody. Principal, would you like us to, how should we start with the community council report?
Let's do that.
Okay. Christine, so glad to have you with us. Yesterday Yay. Was a great day. It was really fun to... be there, have your son there and singing to us, and that ribbon cutting was really great as a school event. I thought it was fun. I was mentioning to Drew, I said it yesterday, I think a majority of the people there were Tuakon High School students, so it was fun.
Wait, that was your kid that sang the elf song?
Oh, no. The one in the wheelchair. The one that got hoisted.
It's very heavy.
When almost got dumped on the ground.
He had a seatbelt on, so I was
No. We were careful.
He's like, I'm falling. He's so chill about it, right? Yeah. He's like, I'm falling.
No panic.
I'm glad we had him surrounded with people to take care of him.
I had to lift him once, and he said, this isn't going to work, Drew.
Very calmly.
Yeah.
Okay, so Christine.
Go to the gym.
Yeah. Tell us about the community council.
Yes, and thank you for letting me go early. We've got holiday ball tonight that you're all invited to with the ballroom. It's our big annual, third annual this year. It's our big fundraiser, and it's just a big dance and
where's it gonna
Christmas
be?
Music in the Entrada.
Yeah, awesome.
Tonight, yeah.
You do a great job
at 7
with
o'clock.
That group. Great job with that group.
Thank you. It's fun. The only thing that Ricky wanted me to talk to you about today was coming up right after the break is we're also in charge of Digital Citizenship Week, talking to the kids about how to be safe online and the positive things they can do with internet access and things like that. So right after we get back, the week that we get back, Monday the 6th, we're starting Tech Wars. Keep It Kind is the title of the program. And basically it uses Star Wars as the theme, and each day there's a Chewy challenge, and then there's also emails that go to the parents every day that give them links to sites to how to keep your kids safe from anything that they can come across. And then it poses questions for dialogue between the parents and their students when they come home as to what we talked about that day. There's the Chewy Challenge, like bingo book cards that they'll turn in to be raffled in for a prize each day, and then again a bigger prize at the end of the week. And then at the end of the week, we have a guest speaker. Her name is at the end of this. She's from DSU. And let's see, on Friday, Gina Gottfriedson. She's a DSU career coach. And she does not an assembly, she, but
keynote speaker, as the founder. She spoke at our church thing. She does a presentation on social media, digital citizenship, how to keep it. She based it off of a secular presentation that she does. So it's really good.
Great.
And we're talking with the students about kind of how they wanted to approach digital citizenship this week. They wanted a good positive take on it. You know, we always have to address the negative, but to, you know, try and take a positive twist at the end and make it good. And the last thing that we're adding to that is an after-school service project for Tan's Treats. Tan is a boy. I can't remember how old he was when he...
He died in an airplane accident. This is a great thing.
He would share his... He would ask his mom to give him extra food to take to lunch to share with other kids that didn't have food. And so they continued after he passed. It's called Tan's Treats, and so we're going to be donating foods to that and then go and put the packages together to...
So what help with from here? Was that?
I think he was from St. George, and it's when he died, he was grown. Yeah. But in his memory, they did it, and it's a real issue. I was not aware until I became aware of Tan's Treats that there's such a problem with
kids
starving, and they're not getting proper nutrition on the weekends. And so they put together these, you know, foodstuffs that that can be everything has a wrapper, basically. Mm-hmm. And they send them home in their backpacks, and at Christmas time they do 2 weeks' worth because they're gone for 2 weeks' worth. Anyway, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And they target the schools that have the highest problem. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
So a way to get the kids involved in
showing project.
But that's our Digital Citizenship Week.
Outstanding. Sounds like a great week. So thank you. Any questions for Christine? Okay, thanks very much. And I know
you're welcome.
If you need to go. If you
want to keep decorating.
If you want to stay, stay. All right. Thanks very much.
Good luck with the performance tonight.
Thank you.
Let's move to the finance report. Kent, you ready for us?
Sure. First, I want to again give a shout out to Andy. I appreciate every month when I send him the financials. He reviews them and gives me feedback. We chat about it. Different things to see how we're doing or areas we need to improve, so I appreciate you taking the time to do that. What you're seeing here, I sent this out to the board about a week ago for you to review. Over here on the left side up here is it's a revenue comparison from this year, from year-to-date, July to October, from this year versus last year. And you'll notice there's we have a little bit bigger in that the local sources. We received a donation, about a $25,000 donation, helped us with COPA, and we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. So that's kind of a comparison of where we were from this year from last year. We also received a grant reimbursement, and we will typically receive it around this time. Sometimes we'll receive it first quarter of the following year. So that's why this shows a little bit higher than last year.
Who submits our grant proposals?
I do. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
So that's why there's
it's
a
arduous
bit of difference there.
Yeah, I know.
And then this is
a high degree of difficulty.
Yeah. Same thing. As you know, we get the majority of our money through state funding, which is a nice thing. It's based on enrollment. Chris is going to talk a little bit more about enrollment here in his presentation. Do you want to the next slide? So these are, again, this is just the revenue from the previous slide, and these are the expenses from the same time period. So we're down about $40,000from last year. We'll talk a little bit about what that's all about. Again, as we, the more accurate picture is we removed about $150,000 because we have that accrual over the summer because of the going from year to year. So we're actually down about $40,000 from last year, and some of the things we've purchased for the first quarter, basically, we added an additional row of risers to the black box. Last year we purchased them. We found out that we could add a little extra sections that cost about $10,000. We also had, you notice if you walk around the school, a new branding. So we have Tuacon High School for the Arts all over the walls and things. It's been a great thing. We also purchased some additional uniforms. We'll be getting some of that money back because the students would pay for the t-shirts. And a new website. I don't know if you've been to the website, but it's amazing. I'm sure Drew's going to touch on that as well a little bit later. And so all these things added up, as well as COPA, is why the additional $40,000 basically what we spent this year from last year. The negative $6,000 is not a real concern at this point. October 1 was our count for enrollment, and it was up over last year. So we'll get a mid-year adjustment probably in January on the allotment memo. So we're still holding things tight because of some additional expenses, but we're still in line with our budget, so we're confident where we're at. Any specific questions?
So enrollment's up. WPU is also up this year, so long-term trend looks good.
Yes.
And based on what I read yesterday as far as what's happening with the state's revenue, hopefully the folks on the charter school side will continue to be active on the Hill and get additional money that will help us all. We'll see, I guess. But long-term trend, you think looks good?
It does. Okay. Yeah. It's nice. We do have some advocates up there that help with the legislatures. So yeah. It's good. Okay.
Thank you, Kent. Okay, Aubrey, I think you're up next, our dean of instruction. So, and among other things.
You ready to hear about my baby?
Absolutely.
Okay, so in your packet, you all have a copy of this. So this is our official report we got back from ACT on our last spring's results. I'm really excited about this. So you see in English we're up, which is great. I 2 years ago, back in 2017, I said to my students, beginning of the year, what is it you guys want out of your year this year? And one thing I said is, we want ACT prep. We're so nervous about the ACT. And I hadn't even thought about that. Oh, they're taking the ACT this year. This is something they're nervous about, they really want. So that is the year that I started implementing ACT prep. We fill with Ingrid, Julie, and myself, our solid English team that we've had consistently for the last 3 years, where we've been starting to really push that ACT prep a little bit in our classes. So what is awesome about this is we see that it's working. So that's great. We do recognize that in math and science we're down a little bit, and we're...
Aubrey, why did you say you see it's working?
If you look on your English section...
Well, I see that, but I'm also looking at math, reading...
Yeah, so I as the English team, we started implementing the ACT prep that the other subject areas have not yet.
Oh, okay, so yeah. It's just the English area.
Yeah. So,
got it.
Because this is my specialty is English, and this is where we've implemented over the last 3 years.
Okay.
Or 2 years. We see that's working based on our data from English. Now, with math and science, this hasn't been implemented, and we recognize that. We've had a little bit of tumultuous times within our math and science departments, which we're happy to say now that we feel like we do have our dream team of core teachers. And we're really excited moving forward about that and what it's going to bring to the school. So if you look at the composite overall, we're right at state average, which is great, but we don't want to just be average. We want to be above average. So that's kind of the goal moving forward and what we're working to. This is right at about national average as well, which is a 20.68, if I remember correctly.
Are these results public?
They go public January 10th. So we don't get these from the ACT until mid-October, and they're encumbered, which is why we can't share them with anybody. And so now they're not encumbered, and they go to the state, and the state has to go through a huge process. And so they will actually be on the school website, or the state website, January 10th.
Yeah, so we just received these right before we left the fall break. So it's interesting that we have to wait so long until we actually get to see these numbers, because those students have since moved on or in college. But that's why what I'm going to share with you next is kind of cool and exciting, because we're doing things that we know other schools aren't quite able to do, but we are doing things that are outside the box thinking a little bit. So here, go ahead. All right, so I had mentioned in the last board meeting that October 4th we were doing a school-wide ACT practice exam. So we went ahead and did that, and what we noticed is that there is growth every year, which is very positive. If you see, like I mentioned before, we've got we're up in English and reading, which is where we've been doing more prep and where we've been really trying to implement. So the trend is on the rise. With this, our juniors that take it in school, their junior year, this is about, when we look at the state average, where they should be at the beginning of their junior year. So that's really cool. What we'd like to see moving forward is for these to each go up a little bit based on the plan that we've got in store, which I'm super excited to share about. This is really cool because we already have data from the beginning of the year for all grade levels that we'll be able to compare by the end of the year with the program that we're going to be kicking off. So that's really exciting too. All right. Right now, I would like you to flip your sheet over. Did you? Yeah. So it's blank on that side. You all have a pencil. We're going to do a little activity. All right. So I'm going to give you an ACT math problem.
Okay? Oh gosh.
Now let me share this with you. Part of what we wanted to do moving forward with our whole faculty was make sure everybody was on board with the program that we're going to implement. So we sat down with the faculty, and they took an ACT sample, and they had some questions from each section. So it was a 15-minute sample, and Drew almost cried. Actually, it was really quite overwhelming. So
PTSD from high school.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to show you a math problem. You have 1 minute to complete this math problem, because that's what we give the students. They have 60 problems in 60 minutes. So
can we use like lifelines?
No. you cannot. Friend.
Anybody around here
Google?
Know how to do math? Because I don't.
Put your phones away. Okay, so. I'm going to time you for 1 minute, and Drew's going to go to this next slide that will have your math problem on it.
Good luck, ladies and gentlemen.
Can we pick one of those letters? So we got 20% chance?
Yeah. C's not on there, John.
letters I'm okay with. It's all these numbers.
You have to show your work.
I have no idea.
Kevin.
I went eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
All right, you're halfway there. You've got 30 seconds.
I had trig since.
This is what my freshman is taking right now, and I'm no help to her either.
Yeah, you're welcome to use your phone as a calculator if you need to. We only have 15 seconds left.
This gives me so much anxiety.
There's no C. Isn't that what you do when you don't know on the ACT? C, C, C.
I just picked the middle one, though. It's like C.
Yeah.
All right, that's a minute. Time's up. Okay. Andy. How do you feel about that? How did it make you feel when you saw it?
All I'm saying is this is easier than the bar exam, because the bar exam, you say F and G, but not H, J, and K. H and J, but not K.
Except when it's this.
Rob, I see you wrote something on your paper. I believe
J.
You're actually the only one.
No, I wrote H.
Oh, okay.
For Hafen.
Oh.
I did G for guess.
I should have written that.
Rob, walk me through what you did.
Well, you've got your formula. They give you the formula. You just have to know which one to plug in, and I think it was J.
Okay, but you did draw a triangle.
Yeah.
With a few numbers.
Well, yeah, the 14, 18, and 20, right? That they give you.
Yeah. Good job.
Am I right?
I have no idea. Yes, you are.
You don't know.
Yes, nice work, Rob.
Absolutely correct. I told you my specialty is English. It's interesting when I look at this and think, deer in the headlights. We give our students these, they have 60 problems in 60 minutes, and we expect them to do well. Some of them walking into this test blindly, other than what they've been learning in the math class and the content area. So as we looked at some of our data, Drew and I actually, we went into our LA conference room and we whiteboarded the whole whiteboard. What is it we need to do for our students? What can we do to help them so that this isn't a problem? Not literally, but also figuratively. And you all got a copy of PEAK last board meeting, and I hope some of you had a chance to read some of that. But we realized what they need is they need to practice. They don't always practice, and we talked about this a little bit last board meeting, they don't always have the opportunities to practice what they need to have the confidence they need moving into the ACT. So I mentioned that we were going to do some training through Drew's mother-in-law, who has two younger kids. One is still in high school, I believe. They had found a training program for ACT prep that averaged six-point increase on both their ACT scores. So as we whiteboarded, and he had mentioned that to me, we started doing our research, doing some Googling and searching around, and we found this company up north that does that, but it's an expensive program. So, coincidentally, as I had done more research about this company, one of the owners was a neighbor of mine for 7 years up in Lehigh. So I thought, hey, I've got her number. I can reach out to her right now. So I reached out and I said, hey, long time no talk. I see that you're doing this ACT training program. We want to try and implement this at our school. Would you be interested in coming down and training our core teachers on what you do? And she said, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. It's what we do is a one-to-one in tutoring. We've never done this in the classroom. It would be a lot of work. We'd have to modify the curriculum. So we'll have to pass. And Drew and I got together and we're like, no, we don't take no for an answer. So we repitched and said, hey, what if we sent our teachers to you? Could we bring our core teachers to you? Is that something that would interest you? And she said, well, let me talk to our team. And so she talked to her team, and she came back with some questions, and we had all the answers. And she said, okay, let's do it. Let's try it. No one has ever tried this before. We're really excited to create the partnership with you guys in this because we're their gopher now, and it could work in their benefit as well as in ours. So it was November 11th through 14th. Minnie Robbins so kindly opened her home to us, and we went there. It made a lot more cool, intimate atmosphere for our group. This is our science team here. They were working with JC, who's one of the owners, on science. The teachers also sat down and took test after test after test after test because they were practicing that deliberate purposeful practice we'd read about in PEAK. They said, you need to know how to crack every question on the ACT, because if you're going to teach it to your students, you've got to know how it is when they have a problem, when they are struggling. You say, I know how you feel. I empathize with you. Let's work through this together. So we all did practice exams till we were blue in the face. But what was interesting is we really learned how to learn the ACT, not just to study for the test, but to actually learn the ACT. So one cool thing that we, and because of Community Council helping us out, they're so generous, they thought this program was really excited. So we had a bunch of lessons. So this is their modified curriculum. They shifted a lot of what they do to make it useful for us in the classroom. So it's not just a one-to-one, but a classroom level. And so each section, each subject area has its own set of lessons, as you see. And we specifically I worked with Jenny on the phone for hours to make, she'd ask questions about our school specifically, our schedule, what it is we want from our students. So kind of together, we adjusted the curriculum to make it work specifically for us, which is really cool. We have that partnership now. And another thing that's really neat it has is it has all of the sample tests that they'll take, so they can as they go, as they progress, they can see how they're progressing and what it is they're doing to improve. Another really cool thing about this program is she said they'll get questions. Well, but you're just teaching to the test. You're just teaching to the test. And she said, we're not. Actually, we're teaching kids the skills that they need. If you look at ACT as the benchmark for these are the core skills and things that we feel like students need moving into college, because this is the college, you know, test to get into college. If you look at that, there are so many things that we can teach them. And she said, we have students that come back, I'm taking the bar, I'm taking the GRE, I took your program years ago, I raised my ACT 8 points, can you please retrain me on the reading strategy? So in reading, we worked on, as English teachers, all the different strategies that we can help our kids with reading. Annotating, mapping out what you're reading, circling key facts, ideas, numbers, all the different things that you can do to improve their reading. When you go to college, you're going to read a lot. These are skills that you'll need. These are skills that you need in English for writing. All the variety of skills that they're learning, other than just teaching to the test, where she said, you won't see a lot of gaps with not implementing all the core state core curriculum that they normally would third quarter. She said, you'll see that they're actually, this will transit perfectly into what you decide to do fourth quarter. And your students will be better readers and they'll be better writers in turn. So that was really neat. Go ahead, Drew, for the next. So one cool thing that we've been doing is, she said, start sprinkling. Start sprinkling to your students what you're doing. We had the core teachers so excited. They went up there kind of like, okay, we don't know what this is going to be like. We're a little nervous, we're a little hesitant, and we had teachers so excited to come back and teach. Like, I want to start now. And so she said, I recommend you start sprinkling. Start telling your students about it. Guys, we've got something really exciting coming. This is really great. I mean, and if everyone buys in, it's going to hopefully be very successful for us. So we started sprinkling. I've started working with my juniors on, okay, these are some of the reading strategies. Let's practice a little bit. And interestingly enough, the seniors, they're like, well, we feel like we're getting ripped off. they're wanting what the underclassmen are going to get. Because they're seeing that this will benefit them. One of our math teachers told me on Thursday, she said, I've been sprinkling this in my math class, and I had a student that was like, or a couple of students said, can we start now? Can we start ACT prep now? Which is really cool because she teaches freshman math. We're not even talking about juniors that are taking it this year. These are freshmen that are really excited. The cool benefit is that freshmen also take in April, right after the program ends in March, the ACT Aspire, which is their state test that will map now, is mapping, starting to map to the ACT. So this picture is just this past week in her English classes. Ingrid started sprinkling a little bit, and she said, we're going to start implementing the reading strategies, and I want you guys to come up with an ACT goal sheet that you can keep with your book. So they'll have this book, and they'll have an ACT test, a bunch of tests, sample book. And so she said, I want you to come up with a goal sheet. And these are awesome. I mean, look at their goals. The U of U, NYU, one thing that I loved is a student here right in the middle wrote, I can do difficult things. And we recognize this program. It's going to be a sprint. It's going to be 8 weeks. It's going to be starting January 6th, right when we get back from the break. And it's intense. It's going to be intense for them. One really cool thing, though, is that as a group, we sat down the last day of our training up there, and it was, all right, math, science, I want you to come up with 3 activities that English can use in their classroom to make this engaging and fun and not just drudgery of ACT prep. English, math, you come up with some ideas for science. So we came up with a whole list of ways that we can implement this in our classroom in an educational but yet entertaining way for our students, so that they're not just feeling like they're drudging through it, as well as days that they can celebrate successes, and we're really excited about it. So this to me was our students saying, we're going to do this, and we're excited about it, and we're not going to fail. So this is, I thought was great. England was already trying to build that confidence maybe in the program. So we're going to have a kickoff assembly forum, get them amped up about it. As soon as they get back from the break, we're going to hand out the new materials and we're going to start implementing it in our classes. It'll go 8 straight weeks up to March 3rd, which is the day to take the test. In fact, they'll finish just the Friday before they take that test.
Is it just juniors or do sophomores take the test on that day too?
So, I love it. That's a great question. Juniors take it from the actual ACT. What I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to make freshmen and sophomores take it too. And I'm going to give them the same test I gave them at the beginning of the year. And we're going to see. Because that will give us the instant data we need to say, okay, at the beginning of the year, as freshmen we did this, and as sophomores we did this, and we just implemented this program. Let's see how we did with it. The most amazing thing to me was as we were leaving our training up there, they were like, we love this. We want to work at your school. We wish we could work at your school because no one has ever done this. As far as we know, there's no one in the state of Utah. Drew said he'd never seen anything like this in Tennessee. Because we're a charter school, we can do something like this and we can try something new to really just increase our academic culture. Which is amazing. So, any questions about that?
Well, I would just say, you know, I know. Go ahead, Margaret.
Why are there only 77 tested in 2019?
Oh, that was the number in our junior class.
That's just how many juniors we had.
It just happens to be lower than all the other years.
Yep.
It's going back up. I was just going to add that, ACT right now for most colleges is more important. It's weighted more heavily than grades. And so I love the fact that we're focusing on that. But I also take great comfort in the fact that by preparing for the test, we're preparing them for college, which is college prep curriculum. That's part of our mission. This is mission consistent. And I love the fact that we have data, apples to apples. That I think that's going to help us a lot, too. And this company up in Utah County, they're going to be glad they met Tuacon High School folks.
Because
if they see our numbers go up, they can take this to other charter schools, other public schools. It'll be great for them. And, you know, let's use this tide to raise the boats of everybody.
And that's one thing we talked about with this partnership. With this partnership, she said, we can't wait to see what this does. This could change the way we run our company. This could change schools. I mean, but we love that we're that pilot, and we don't know what it's going to bring. I mean, because this is our first time trying it. But she said, you know what? You guys have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose in trying this. It's so, like I said, they wish they worked at our school, and I took a lot of pride in that.
Well, and going back to the book, and I was looking at it a little bit this week. I mean, this is purposeful practice. I mean, if we want to prep for something, we have to come up with a plan, and we have to do it with a purpose. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. What I got out of it, so I think we are trying to practice what we're preaching. I think that's a positive too. So, nice work on this.
Yeah,
it's good.
Do we have an issue with the distribution? Meaning, you know, it's like this is probably great for everyone who's really excited about going on to college and really motivated and understands, hey, I want to go to NYU, so I know I have to get at least a 30 or a 32. But do we have a problem with, like, the left tail that doesn't care, that just they'll take the test because you make them take the test, but they're going to phone it in?
So that's a great question. This is something we addressed a lot of these questions when we went up there. What about the students that are like, I'm not going to college, I don't care?
Yeah.
We had talked to them. What we will pitch to these students is, you may not go to college, but you will read and you will write and you will be solving problems the rest of your life. This isn't just a college initiative, but if you look at a lot of the students that we feel like tree in the test are because they don't have the opportunity to take a test program. And they don't have the preparation they need, and so they go in blindly, and I feel dumb. I've never done this before, so I'm just going to trade in. versus saying, hey, I feel a little bit prepared. Maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll take a shot at it and do my best.
Rob, let me add to that. When we showed that math question, really smart people said H for hyphen. And because you look at that question in a one-minute scenario and you don't feel prepared to do it, typically what we find, the ACT is an equity. Really, it's an equity problem in America. So my mother-in-law, they have, this program was $1,500 per kid, right? So she basically spent $3,000 to raise her kids' ACT scores 6 points each, which was the difference of them getting into BYU for one of them, and the other one was to get a scholarship at BYU. So if you think about that, if we did 1,500 times 400 students, you're talking $500,000. This is an absolute equity issue in our country. So when you look at the people who are getting into college, it's mostly people in upper middle class to upper class families because they have the access to these types of programs. So if you were to say, you know, Drew, your test tomorrow, you've played music for 35 years and we're going to give you a test on the piano tomorrow, I'm going to phone it in. I'm going to walk into that test and I'm going to just make a big joke of it because I already feel dumb. The hope is that as we build this confidence, this is all about building confidence, a culture. We build that confidence. So the kid walks in and maybe they only know, to get a 21 on the ACT, you only have to get half right. That's a national average, just a 21. So we've got students, if they just get half right, and they went from a 14 to a 21, that's the difference of them getting scholarships to a state school. And all of a sudden now that changes a mindset of them going, maybe I could go to college. Because before, they might have a parent who didn't go to college, blue collar, you know, and they're just like, well, I got a successful parent, so I'm just going to do that. I'm not going to worry about that. I don't want to walk into the ACT and look dumb, per se. Even though they're really smart, but they're not smart in terms of this test.
Do they give us that data? Do they give us a distribution?
No. What?
All we see is one number for math, one number for English.
Yeah, there's. I mean, that we've got.
That would be really interesting, is to see the bell curve.
Right. We do have a more in-depth look, but not. I mean, not in terms of socioeconomics, and not. I mean, we can actually. We might be able to parse that out if we look at our students versus their individual scores, and then start creating our own bell curve. But that's a great question.
Let me follow up on something you just said, Drew. I guess this is to you too. It's really a culture issue for the school. And Margaret, I know, cares about this too because she helped to support the college applications. Just in terms of expectations, I mean, the college is such a big predictor of success. And, you know, there are a lot of ways to measure success. Financial is just one of them. There are a lot of other ways. But just as far as establishing expectations of the students and helping them to understand the significance of investing in themselves by getting a college degree, the dramatic difference that can make, is that something that we're working on? Are we planning on helping to support the students in applying for college this year? What are we doing on that front? Because it seems like these two things really go together.
Yeah.
So we did UCOG in, and Rob asked that last night, and all of our seniors applied to college again this year, which is incredible.
Great.
So we spend a whole week where it's just college, and our counselors are calling in our seniors weekly. Okay, let's talk about, you know, you applied to this college. What's it take to get into that college? Where's your, you know, how are you planning? And to that question, I think the biggest thing is, the biggest holdup is not our portfolios. It's not what kids can do. This is the gatekeeper. The ACT is the gatekeeper to the confidence of students getting into these types of programs. And it's the gatekeeper to the money. Student body president last year got a score of a 19 on the ACT, and you'll see there, that's the minimum score or the average score for NYU. He got into NYU. with an 18 or a 19 on his ACT because his portfolio was so strong. The difference is that if he had gotten a 30 on the ACT, he probably would have got a full ride scholarship. And this is a first generation college going student and couldn't afford NYU. It's actually the most expensive public school in the nation. So ended up going to Chapman, got a great scholarship at Chapman University in California. So this is a confidence thing. If we can help that particular student raise their ACT because they feel confident walking into the test, it changes the whole game. We're actually one of our worries is that we'll raise in the next 3 years we'll raise the ACT score so significantly as a school that the ACT is going to call us and say you're cheating. That would be a dream come true for us.
We'll take that. That's okay.
Well, in this program, she said we have with this, we keep track of all these for everyone we tutor because the ACT has come to us and said this kid went from a 20 to 28. That they're cheating. And they say, no, we'll send you everything that we've done with them, and part of this is this is the program, the process we've done. And we recognize it might be a few years until we see real significant increases, but like I said, we don't know. We could see a 2 or 3 point increase this year. But
part of the brand, part of the culture.
Yeah.
Just to follow up with what Andy was asking about, I mean, English goes up, but our other two areas go down. We end up with precisely the same score as the state average. Is everybody on board? Math, science? Because that, if not everybody's on board, this ain't going to work.
Right.
So that was the one thing that our trainer up there, she sat us in last day, she said, okay, you've been through the training, you've done the work, you've taxed your brains, what are you going to do to make this work? And the one thing that we all collectively agreed on was buy-in. We've all got to buy in, and we've got to get all the teachers to buy in, because as soon as someone says, oh yeah, man, another day with the ACT, then equity and fidelity just drops entirely. And we all came home so excited, like, can't wait to teach this, we can't wait to try it. I was shocked. I was really shocked by how excited everyone was, because I didn't think that everyone would share that instructional passion that I did. But they were completely bought in.
Great.
And then after we met with the faculty, everyone's actually really excited about it.
And I think that Aubrey said the dream team. We've got a dream team of core teachers. This is part of that. They're bought in, and and this isn't a program. This is a culture shift, right? And that, when we felt that culture shift happen, that's my confidence. We tried some other programs in the past, and I think when you try programs, it doesn't work. It's just another, we got to do another program. This is a complete culture change at a school, and we can do that because we're small and nimble.
I heard it last board meeting. I have a daughter, it's a junior. Maybe I heard it there, but is it true that this next year, when you retake the ACT, that you can just do it by section rather than, like, if you're lower on math, then you don't have to retake the whole test. You can just
yep.
So ACT,
that's great.
That's
good.
Out
I like
September
that. Wish I could have done that too.
Starting September 2020,
I would have taken math over and over again.
That they'll be able to take a specific just section rather than the
that's
whole.
That's fantastic.
So which is huge.
Oh, yeah.
Aubrey, I have a question.
Yeah.
So on this table, we talk about school averages and then state averages. Mm-hmm. How does Tuapun right now stack up against our high schools in our area? Pineview,
Canyon. We don't have their specific, like Drew said, we don't know their specific data yet.
Until January 10th.
In January you will.
Yeah. Historically, we've been in the middle of the county.
Okay, that's
from previous
years. Yeah, from the previous year's data, we've always been right in the middle.
But we haven't done this.
Yeah, because there's, I mean, at some point, I mean, if our hard, I mean, it's like English and arts, or, you know, the softer side of things, that's great, that's our brand. But our brand is also that you can come to this school and get all the science, all the math that you're going to need to be successful. And the data aren't showing that
right.
yet.
And in fact, you know, if I were a parent of a, you know, seventh or eighth grade student, I would be looking at those math and science scores and saying, gosh, I would love to send my kid to TUACON, but they're not doing the job on math and science. So I'm thrilled you guys are keeping to focus on that, because that definitely has got to be part of our brand message, and I know it is.
Yeah.
In your minds, but boy, we got to turn that data immediately.
Well, can you imagine if we push the needle on this and we go up by a point and then maybe 2 points in over 3 years, and then that's what we're telling parents and kids.
We'll be turning students away.
Yeah.
That's something Drew and I addressed when we sat in there and talked about it, is we know where we're weakest, and I think part of me taking on the role here at the school in that was, how do we improve instruction? How do we improve our entire academic culture? So I think this is just, for us, a step in the right direction, and we're excited to try it and be vulnerable with it and put ourselves out there and say, hey guys, let's try something new and try something hard and see what we can do with it.
I think that a lot of schools and even and possibly this school, but they gloss over these numbers and they won't really talk about them in a board meeting like this. And I think it's fantastic that we do and that you engage and you ask really hard questions. That's part of the transparency. And I mean, as a parent of students, I mean, I've got a sixth grader and I'm excited for my own children to be able to come here because of this program. And I think that transparency that, you know, however people spin it, but we're transparent in these meetings. We talk about what we're doing good, and we talk about where we need to grow. And I think a lot of schools gloss over that.
Okay. Anything else on ACT? Are we ready to talk about ACT, Harvard Rounds?
Just Harvard Rounds. I'm so excited. As you remember, I nailed down that grant so that we could go to Harvard. And a few weeks ago, I got an email from them, which is incredible. And they said, hey, we're doing it again May 4th, week of May 4th. So they were kind of pending, trying to decide on their date. And they said, we'd love to see TUACON back. We can't wait to see you guys again, which was so cool. I mean, how many schools get that opportunity to a personal reach out from Harvard's Grad School of Education? So May 4th through 8th, that's the plan. Anticipated visit. And we're really excited to take a team. We want to build a team and specifically take a teacher from each of our core subject areas. And it would be really cool as we continue to implement Harvard Rounds in the school to have several points of contact for everybody to be able to go to and to get better practice and improve, the academics in our school. So.
Awesome. That's great. Glad we're doing it again.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope. Thanks, Ivory. Okay. Nice job. Really good. Okay.
I'm going to change subjects.
Chris.
Over to one of those cores so I can go back. It's so awesome. So, I want to talk about kids that I eat lunch with. Okay. To start, one of my favorite TV shows, and a lot of my kids know me.
Wait, let me guess. Ron Swanson. You're Ron Swanson.
There we are.
I mean, is that where you were going, or were you going to say you were like Kramer from Seinfeld? Because you are Ron Swanson, but you have no mustache. So if you could work on the mustache, I would.
I'm going to clean this off by tomorrow morning.
Okay. So, we'll bring steak and bacon to our next board meeting. Keep you happy.
I'm going to write that down. Quote that in the minutes. We'll talk about our kids. Sometimes I feel like that park service guy. I spend every lunchtime with them, and have this year. And initially started by roping an area and saying, here's where we're having lunch, and that rope disappeared a little while ago. And they all of a sudden started saying, wait, where the social experiment worked? You've been conditioned to. to go, and they're so awesome. I love spending time with them. So let's look at kind of where we're going enrollment-wise, and I say it is full steam ahead. Last time we talked about where we were at, looking at our trends. One of my huge highlights here is that we've not had a single kid leave, transfer out, in over a month now. this is where the new quarter starts, and we always anticipate some adjustment and some change. Life happens sometimes, and we'll talk about some of those life changes with some of the kids. And so this is looking awesome. Our young classes are strong. We remember this junior class, and we talked about this last time, but this is our class that was our kind of our freshman group, or second group after Drew came, and we started shifting the culture. And so we know we had a lot of negativity and change and things going on, and we had a lot of support from our board as well that we helped address that. And now we're seeing that product and that impact. And one of our strongest senior classes that I've seen in almost a decade here, looking really good. So if we can have a sunshiny graduation, we can start new at the next 19 years of that would be great. We're looking forward to that with them, and they're awesome. So as we talked last time, kind of where we start our years and where we're going there, our base enrollment is going up. 394 is where we're at, which is right in line with where we actually started a year ago. And so we are starting to see that base rise up, which means dollars for those kids and everything we were talking about a few minutes ago. And so I'm loving where that trend is going. And this is why, John, this goes to a question that you asked last year in a board meeting. I remember those sometimes. And so where we were a year ago, we had 22 kids leaving that first chunk of first semester. 15 of them, just about 70% of the pies, we're in pie season right now. A lot of it a few days back. 70% of them went off, just went into town and went to a local school. That was a problem. So we were trying to look at why are they leaving, where are they going, what's our data. And we didn't quite have it other than that we knew they were leaving. So thanks for asking. That question helped me take time and dig into a lot of data and do a lot of research and add some new things to what I'm tracking this school year and figure out where we're going. So we've had 19 kids in that same kind of span this year go, but the pie has changed. And I know out of those 19, amazing. Where every single kid, who they are, where they went, and why. We've changed to most of them have actually moved out of state. And so the trend is no longer that we can't find what we want here and we're just leaving. It's family change, life change, jobs change. And I've been able to talk with a lot of those kids. One who was the third kid in their family that's gone through here and had a huge impact on what we were doing. And I was excited to have that student in my classes this year. But life changed for the family, and they moved out of state. And so that student actually got the chance to come back to our homecoming dance this year. Some of her friends, it was great to see them. And we plan on having that student walk at graduation as well as part of the family. The one huge difference for me here is that these kids know that they can all come back. If jobs change and the family's able to move back, they were not happy that they had to leave. But that's happened to all of us at times. And so even among these four local kids, I know their stories. I know a couple of them just even jobs changed at home and they moved to a farther part of the county. And that became hard financially just to travel. And so we understand that they're probably in the right place for them, what works for their family. And as we look at alternative, this is usually our kids, our seniors predominantly, that we are trying to help get in the right place to get credits for graduation because they're short and won't make it. And we need them we want them to still have the opportunity to take that and keep moving in life and not just drop out and fail. And I'll have that feeling. So we are seeing a big, big shift in that pie. We're in the right direction, and I think because we were able to take the time just based on a question and what we need to look at, we're seeing a huge move in where kids are going and a more personal touch of knowing they're still part of the family. So,
yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, let me just say, I'm glad that you remembered that question because weirdly I was about to ask it again with the previous slide. So, but just great credit to you and the team for getting that number down from 15 to 4 and even on the alternative from 4 to 2, as we're talking about data, those are great. I'm surprised people are moving. I mean, it seems like everybody should want to just stay here. But that's a huge improvement. And I think what we're seeing this in college, you know, not just with athletes but in the transfer portal, but everything else. I mean, it's people want to be fluid. If they don't like where they are for whatever reason, they'll choose to go somewhere else. And if we're able to keep the kids here, that is a really good sign for where we are right now and a really good sign for where we're going. So way to go. It's awesome.
As we talked about last board meeting, we had a larger group of seniors come in this year thanks to the transfer portal. That's what I'm going to call that next time. It's not data, but transfer portal. So do we know who this guy is? Anybody know who that is?
Biff Williams.
Biff Williams, okay. So I want to talk about Biff took the time. He reached out to us as a school and took the time to come visit the school, spent some time with our team and talked to us a little while about what we're doing, what they're doing over there, how we connect together. We have a lot of great kids who are going to Dixie. I'm one of those alumni from a long time ago, and it had an awesome impact on my life, helping me get a start in what I was doing. And so he came, spent the time. These two young ladies from our student council gave him a tour, and they talked about afterwards. What a huge impact it was to them. That he would take his time to do that, that a university president would do that for them, for a small school of 400 kids, and come spend time with them and care about them. And we love sending kids over there. They have awesome programs. If that is where they're wanting to go, and Dixie just keeps going on the rise every year with what they're providing for our kids. And so, impact is what we're feeling from them. And so last time I invited you guys to come to activities. These are our next kind of group. We know we've got our one tonight that I think Christine would kind of share with us, so I don't have it listed. But our dance concert is coming up as one of our big highlights. Our spring musical is coming. Last time, a few weeks ago, we had You're in Town. That's the name of the musical. If you go in the bathrooms, you find that out too. But Kevin and I actually went the same night there, and so thanks for coming to that. The kids, that is a big impact as well on our kids when you guys are able to travel here and take that time out of your busy schedules and come spend some time with them. So thanks for coming to do that, and all of you who were able to make it. And if not, there are always more things we're doing. So.
You don't know this, but the day after you came to Urinetown, they all said, "Did you know that Kevin Smith came last night?" And, I mean, they know. They watch. It's amazing what students pick up on, and they see you here, and they know who you are. So it's a huge impact, just like Biff coming to the school. I mean, that reverberated. That was an immediate reverberation that the president of the university came just to spend some time with a couple of students.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Well, I think it helps coming back to expectations and other things. College presidents are coming here. Well, maybe I can do college. You have Sean Reyes come and talk to all the kids. Wow, maybe I want to go do something like what he's done. And we need to just keep beating that drum. I love it. And I think I may have asked this before. It's really helpful if we can get an email maybe at the beginning of the month saying, or whatever, saying here are the things that are coming up in the next 6 weeks of the board. It's harder for me since I'm at North, but for local people, I know how much they love supporting things around here. And, you know, we ought to make sure that the other folks on the entertainment side see it, because it would be fun to have, you know, some of the professional talent come to things. There's some overlap in the spring and that kind of thing. I don't know if Scott had a chance to see her in town, but that would be
Scott
cool.
Scott came twice.
Good. That's I think that's going to send a huge message to those kids too.
And the cast came.
The whole cast.
Oh, great. So that's happening. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Came,
great.
The cast came.
Great. Yeah. Love that. That's
is the dance
good
concert
for everybody.
In the black box or in the
black box?
Black box. Yeah.
Okay.
So
awesome.
Any other questions?
Nope. Nice job. Thanks
Here's
for what you're doing.
Where the lunchtime is at and the park services. So there you go. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Nice job, Chris. Well, we don't have Kyle here.
Kyle is unfortunately he had surgery on Thursday, so he was going to try to be here, and actually was planning on it, but his wife said no, which was the right thing to do. So, he says hi to everyone, and also sorry he couldn't be there last night. Real quick, each year we kind of shift the way that we do our posters. It's part of our branding, and so this is just an example of some of the concerts that that we have, that we've done, or that we've had coming up, and just. I think part of what we realized as a school a couple of years ago is we needed to have a strong brand in the community, and that's starting to work. I can say for the first time we had the guitar ensemble and orchestra concert was standing room only, which is amazing. We've never had that. And I think that people are starting to turn, it's starting to turn heads a little bit with some of the programs that are maybe the lesser known programs. A cappella, that's a new program that Averill does. There's a huge con. You guys saw her group yesterday.
Great job.
Which was incredible. And their concert's coming up. So there's a lot of really neat things that are happening that are, again, why we changed it from performing arts to just arts that are showcasing a lot of.
So what's been I love the new logo. I've showed it to other people. They love it too. What's the reaction been rebranding? Have you heard feedback?
We'll talk about that. Yeah, okay. You're three steps ahead of me.
Sorry.
So no, it's okay. One of the things Kyle wanted to mention to you was this year we have the bandwidth to have pre-production meetings and post-production meetings, post-mortems. As we like to call them, they have actually, I think, raised the bar for all of our productions on campus, which again then translates to the community. So, because Averill's here, and I think it's awesome, can you talk for 2 or 3 minutes just about that post-production meeting for You're in Town, which was kind of a big process, if you want to just explain that process to them.
Sure. So, we just have sort of a list of the production elements. We've got the sound and music and choreography and directing and scheduling and sort of all the elements, and we just go through item by item, and each member touches on, or each director of that area touches on what they think went really well, what was successful, and what, if anything, would we change, and any sort of general feedback that we heard that would be helpful to that process for the next time. And I think it's always really... I think it's really valuable to hear, to have the whole team in that meeting, because a lot of it overlaps that we don't necessarily have the ability to talk. So, for example, music and sound obviously overlaps, but there were elements like with the choreography that we could talk about in that meeting that, you know, obviously all comes together, and it's nice to have the whole team both before the show trying to predict problems, and then after the show trying to evaluate what had happened and move forward even better for the next one. And that was really productive.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
What we do kind of a big musical, and our showcases are really once or twice a year. And so you get done with them and you're so fatigued after spending so much time, and typically what happens is you don't think about it until the next time you start the process. And all of the things that you needed to learn, you start making the same mistakes over and over again. So we have a form now, we keep that form, and now at our pre-production meetings, we'll pull that form from the last year and actually learn. We'll use data and we'll learn from the mistakes we made and not make those same mistakes twice. So he wanted to talk about that. It comes from the Yale School of Drama is where we grab the form from. So we want to make sure that everything that we do is also... college ready. So even at the high school, we're modeling after where students will end up next, which makes us better. So school report. We'll shift into some branding things. You'll notice throughout this whole presentation, we have our English teacher Ingrid. Her husband actually got a master's degree in production photography, and so what we have done is hired him to come and take photos of our school. That was kind of one of the last steps in our marketing process, is we just didn't have really great pictures of kids doing really amazing things. And And now it's showcased on our website. We have a lot more control over that website, so we can update pictures. We had people in our community who actually didn't know that we have the top guitar ensemble in the state. And there are people in the community who didn't know that. And now that picture of the guitar ensemble is one of the feature pictures of our website. So I think it's just informing the public of what we have, also academics, but the arts as well. So this is, we are putting together a packet, and we'll have a incoming eighth grader meeting in January. We're much more ahead of the curve this year, which is great just because of where we were at last year, building on what we have done in the past. I've talked to TCA, and we're going to hopefully create an email that, in conjunction with some emails that go out with TCA, to inform any eighth grade student or parents of eighth grade students that talks about having an open house here, where we can talk about and have the faculty talk about their programming and talk about our academics. So that's going to be a huge piece of this puzzle. Instead of relying on one school for students, we are now casting a much larger net and going after students in a much more calculated way.
Are we, social media seems to be so huge. I know you've been working on the Facebook page. And photography seems really important too, because it's a lot easier for people to share pictures than write things, although sometimes people do that too. Are we, with the new content, the pictures and everything else, are we pushing that out and encouraging students, faculty to share so that it, I mean, that's just, I think that's great for the kids now. Yeah. I think that's great for the future of the school. That's something we're working on.
Yeah, so our social media has jumped 1,000, went from 200 to 1,300 from last year to this year. So, yes.
Is that Facebook?
That's Instagram.
I know kids, like my ninth grader's like, Facebook is
right.
Like World War One. So, I mean, are we? What's the next thing? Are we trying to keep up with where the kids are? We gotta find them where they are.
Or World War a billion. So Instagram seems to be the best capture, particularly for images. All of our Instagram pictures automatically upload to our Facebook through a thing that we do now every month. I do a principal and parents getting coffee. I stole it from Seinfeld, right. So comedians in cars. And so once a month I meet at a local coffee shop and just get feedback. And so one of the things from a parent was Facebook. So we had 0 followers 2 months ago. We have 900 followers on Facebook now. We started to really look at our alumni in that we'll have alumni nights on campus now.
Awesome.
So I think I'm not a huge fan of Facebook because it does feel like World War One on
but
there.
A lot of the parents are on there.
But that's where the parents are at. And so we also made a big ask in our booster. So I'm starting to send some of these professional photos in a booster kind of a communication, and those parents are now starting to post those professional pictures on on their Facebook feeds, which is amazing. For the first time since I've been here, I had a neighbor walk across the street and knock on the door and say, what is this You're in Town show that is clogging up my Facebook feed? Doesn't have a student here, doesn't have necessarily a connection, has never seen a show up at TuaCon, and all of a sudden now in her Facebook feed, it's getting clogged with all these amazing reports of You're in Town. And, you know, with a name like that, and we knew this to be the case, it would be a slow start. But by the last night, it was almost a packed house, and it was because of that word of mouth, and a lot of it was just the parents really that just pushed it on their Facebook. So this is the new website, and it ties into that. Right here at the bottom, this is so now connected to our website, is these are all the Instagram posts. So you can click on an Instagram post, it'll pull it up, talk about this was on Thanksgiving. A lot of reasons to be thankful for this amazing campus, but that's what it looked like on Thanksgiving morning. So it's a great way, I think, just for And if you get a chance, if you haven't seen that, that was the piece for Hiram. 130 students helped create that. What we're noticing now is it's about engagement. So our students commenting on our Instagram posts, not just a like and scroll, and we're starting to see this engagement that's happening where they're responding. Students are starting to post, they'll tag us in their stories, and we reshare their stories. And the stories don't show up on our website, but so a lot of that is just, you know, getting information out there. But you'll notice on the website, there's our amazing parents and of course Ashlyn there. So just so many amazing pictures that are helping, I think, create a culture outside of what we already know the culture to be. This was huge. We learned by talking with multiple companies that the number one resource for parents choosing a school is niche.com, and that parents respond to text. What's the percentage?
85%.
Rather than email. So we have started a program of emailing or texting parents where we're getting immediate results and responses. So just a lot of a lot of work went into this, and Chris also, there's our guitar ensemble, but Chris's work, we keep it updated now almost daily so that people are going back to the website to see content.
Yeah, learn about how you drive a family. Love that too. It's part of the culture.
I think this is an amazing piece here. Finally, on our website, we have an opportunity for people to just donate. We haven't really pushed this except for it just being a link on our website, and we've already received multiple donations from people who jumped on our website and just decided to donate.
Have we launched? I mean, we've got the endowment set up for the school. Is that something, right?
Yes. So
is that something we're going to at some point launch and promote? And is that something the board can help with?
Yes. There's a Google Doc that I'll send out to the board once I get it finished, probably next week. We wanted to make sure and be very cognizant of the multiple projects that are happening.
Right. Which is smart. We've got the Hiram and Gale Endowment that needs to, for most of this year, we're going to be focusing on that, and I think that's important. We've got to keep focused. But that's something I don't think we want to let slip, just like the Alumni Association, which I think can be so valuable for us.
We've got some amazing community members who have offered to help us write. In fact, Avril's parents have come out and spent multiple hours working through what that pitch needs to look like, and so it's great to have community support as well. So
great.
How's our VISTA problem?
That, man, you guys are asking the. I'm leading right into it. Before we do that, can we? This is our school calendar draft for next year. It looks a little different than we have in the past. One of the things that we're shifting to. It won't change any of the hours. It won't really change much in terms for the students, except for it will create a more consistent schedule. It will also be a little bit more consistent with schools surrounding us. So Monday will always be an A day, B day. Tuesday will always be a B day, and a parent is chuckling because I think this will be nice. Wednesday always an A, Thursday always a B, and Friday will shift from A to B and be a half day, and part of that is to do very focused staff training based on content area, and then also allow us for a little bit more time for pre and post production meetings.
Great.
Right now, all of our pre and post productions are happening during lunch, which is great. We're able to get them in, but it also means that that teachers don't have time to just breathe. Right, we're having meetings at lunch, so this allows for that. Once a week. The important dates, these are anything from professional development days for teachers, back to school night, first day, last days of quarters, how many days are in the quarters, graduation, And Kevin, if you'll look at that, and I'll reach out to Craig Engel just to, as a proposed graduation date. I know that it's important to get that earlier in May, because the later in May, that's when they'll install foil and all the other things. So that puts us at 5:13, which is consistent to Thursday night. So 5:13 for graduation, if you want to put that in your calendars. That's not for
this year.
20, that's 21. For 21. So
this year, I've got it somewhere.
Yep.
This year, graduation is
what day?
It's on Thursday. Can't look. Pull it up.
Okay. All right.
So that just needs to be approved by the board.
And this is the
school master calendar for 2021.
Okay.
And what that allows us to do is put it on our website, send it out to parents, now not as a draft form, and it helps parents be able to navigate all their
activities. Any questions, comments about the proposed calendar for next year?
We have 14th this year.
14th, okay. And we can talk about. Have you been thinking about speakers for that, Drew, already, or you want to talk about that next meeting?
Probably next meeting.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so we have a motion to approve the calendar, 2021 calendar as proposed.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Second.
All right, thank you.
And if anything changes on that, sometimes it does, we'll, of course, send that out.
Okay. Let's see, Sue, are you okay with that?
Yes, I'm fine.
Margaret, are you still on the phone? Stacy?
Yes.
Okay, all right, sounds good. It's unanimously approved. Okay, you want to talk about Art School Network?
Yeah, so, I'll show you this. This is a 30-second clip, great clip. So this was at our premiere, our rebranding, and Hiram there on the left, and this is
Ariel.
She is Ariel.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the connection that we have, and Kevin's so great at making sure that happens. But at almost every one of our events, they reach out and want to be a part of it and talk to
what
the kids.
What day was, I mean, that was, I believe,
October
Hiram's
21st.
That was Hiram's last public presentation of thousands, which is really cool that it would be at the school. What day was that?
October 21st.
21st, okay.
October. Yeah.
Okay, anything else on the school report?
So Art School Network, this is a conference that... you'll remember last year I went to by myself just to check it out. It was in L.A. We visited OSHA, Orange County School of the Arts, and LACSA, L.A. County School of the Arts, and started to create a network. This is the network that allowed me to connect in with Singapore, and spent 10 days in Singapore with the Art School Network Board and University of Colorado. And just an amazing experience. The big thing, and you can read that piece, is what it does is it connects other arts high schools and colleges together, not only just in a conference every year, but also just a network where I can reach out, email. There was a session, and this will lead me to answer your question. They call it Crisis Confidential. And something that's interesting about being a principal that's different than any other kind of leadership position is that you have multiple groups that you have to provide to, students, family members, faculty members. My biggest worry on any sort of a holiday is, just like you do with your own kids, is making sure that kids or their families or faculty or any one of the people that we have contact with don't get in a car accident or get hurt or have a traumatic, you know, and so it's just it keeps you up at night, which is what it should do. I was in this meeting called Crisis Confidential, and there are about 30 middle school and high school and college dean principals of arts high schools. And we were going to kind of address, we had 10 minutes to go around and say, what's the biggest problem or issue that you're facing as a school, and then we'll pick one and we're going to spend an hour and a half and brainstorm ways to try to get through that. This was a really interesting moment for me. Every single one in my group of 10 high school and middle school arts principals was their connection with the middle school below them, and how there was just kind of a weird relationship, and this was happening all over the country, which made me feel a little bit better with kind of our situation here at Tuacon, that it's kind of a national problem. And we spent an hour, and we've now since created an email list, and we're sending information back and forth about, hey, I tried this, and this really helped build our relationship. And so I think moving forward, it's just a really great network of smart people nationwide that are helping each other. So we took Ryan Tilby, Jen Dale, Kyle Lewis, and I went. This was in Florida. It is jam-packed, 8 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, and just an incredible opportunity to network. And for instance, we met with they bring recruiters from NYU, and you know, in terms of all the different breakout sessions. And so just, again, networking and connecting. So our school network will be in Las Vegas for their national conference next October. I've already reached out to Scott Anderson. They're going to put on a pre-tour, which is Tuesday, they're going to put about 70 folks on a bus, drive them up to Tuacon. They're going to spend the day with us. We'll do some showcases with our students, and then it'll end on a Tuesday night with them seeing a show in the amphitheater and talking about that partnership. So pretty amazing opportunity. I think people will be blown away. You mentioned this last night. It's not just magic, but what they'll feel is much more than that. It's a miracle. And so we're excited about that partnership and where it can lead.
That's awesome.
Awesome, yep.
That pulls into this last thing. That's one of our students. He was he was actually selected to be the principal dancer for Vista's Nutcracker, which is was pretty awesome for our student to be able to go back and mentor. He was a former student of Vista, now current student of ours, and just has from junior, I think he's a junior this year, from freshman year to junior year, he is a phenomenal ballet dancer, which is what he wants to do and continue doing. So he was the principal male ballet dancer for the Nutcracker, which was incredible to watch. We've talked a little bit about our partnership. This is a letter. It's in your board packet. This is a letter that I wrote to the Vista board and also to Mr. Gibbs, the principal. There's been, as you know, a grammar request came out, and what we found, we used a third party to look at that grammar request, about 22,000 plus emails from one individual, and it was really negative. This was an individual who is no longer with the Vista organization, but very, very negative towards Tuacon and a couple of its employees. And what we realized is that this was kind of the source of some of the negativity that we've had with some other teachers. And so in speaking with lots of folks, including John and others, what we decided to do as a school is not stay in that negativity, and to rise above it. People will listen to things and spin it the way that they'd like to do that, but we're going to rise above. And so this was basically a letter to them saying that we're moving on, and we have a lot of amazing students here at Tuacon, and we're going to focus on making sure that we achieve their dreams and not spend our time and our bandwidth focusing on trying to manage negativity outside of our organization. we're hopeful that that those things will be addressed on their side, and their board knows about those things. So, but it felt good to write this letter, and I had a meeting with Sam, and it was nice to be able to talk through this letter and let it go, so to speak, and we can refocus as a school. And, but it's been
any
tough.
Any response?
From their board, one member of their board responded to me.
And?
Who and what?
Do we need to go into an executive session to discuss?
No, just a board member who's a big supporter, has students here at Tuacon, just reached out to me via text and said, thank you for sending that letter. But he has been a huge supporter of both schools. He's got students at Vista and here, and has been a huge supporter. I think it's really important to note in this situation, what we found based on the grammar request is, and I'll note that my three kids go to Vista, but what we found is this is a very isolated kind of a situation. My kids are thriving at Vista, and it's because, and my wife actually works at Vista as well, part-time. Most of the teachers aren't involved in this. I'd say 90% of the faculty aren't even involved, don't even know what's happening. This was a small, isolated group of people, two individuals particularly, who were spreading negativity and lies, and then emailing out these things and kind of trying to create a camp. I don't think it's a systemic Vista problem. I think it was just a couple of people. Those individuals are no longer there. And so I think that has eliminated that constant communication face-to-face, which I think will help significantly. And, we can't, as a school, as a group of people, manage another organization, nor do we want to, nor was that ever our goal. Our hope with this is just, this is where we're at, and we're going to move forward and do amazing and great things, and we'd love to partner, but that's now on you to decide.
Yeah, let me just add.
So can we just get our a cappella group out to every middle school in
yes,
the
sir.
County?
Absolutely.
I mean, seriously.
Really good. Well, I think that's what Drew's saying, is we're going to cast a broader net. It's just, it's been a sad thing. I mean, I give great credit to the Vista board and to Principal Gibbs over there for taking action in response to what was uncovered. But it's been kind of a sad thing for me. We've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars as a result of what happened over there. You can track it based on who was coming from there and how this stopped that. But what I love about Drew's letter is, we're going to rise above it, and we are also letting them know we've got this incredible opportunity to be partners with you. We have so much overlap. We've got our CEO's wife is the librarian over there. Drew's wife works there. We've got people that are so many bridges between these two organizations, and somebody took a flamethrower to those bridges, and it's just tragic because we can do so much for them. They can continue to do a lot for us. We have this opportunity to create a partnership with some of the dreams that we have here that we would really love to make happen, but they've got to decide whether they want to be part of that partnership, because you can't have a partnership if only one side wants to pursue it. So we'll see what happens, and I hope it'll be positive, but great credit to Drew and Kent and others that worked on this. I think they handled it just the right way, and I feel really good about the outcome. It's a good letter.
But I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Everything emanates down from the top. It always does. And I'd like to know, where does Sam stand?
We trust him.
We continue to have dialogue, and I think that's the most important piece to the puzzle, is just a constant dialogue. That's one thing that we don't want to stop, and so the dialogue's there.
Do you trust?
I think that...
You just answered the question.
Yeah, I was going to say trust is earned.
Well, I think that this situation in particular has been really hard, and so let me answer the question by saying this: I have lost trust, and that has been communicated to Sam and to that board. And so I think that doesn't mean that we can't build that trust again. But I want to highlight it was a systemic problem with a small group of people where there was so much negativity, visceral, and lies that were being shared that was an inner circle. That was their team.
And Sam was part of that.
Well, that information was coming from particularly two individuals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I had Kent and Chris and Aubrey sending me constant information, that's my team. Those are the people that I trust. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was a recognition of, oh, the information that I have been receiving from people that I valued and trusted was not information that I should have valued and trusted. And so I think it's just I think it's going to take some healing on both sides, particularly on my side, in terms of that trust.
But he's been good about communicating with us and spending time with Drew, and
right.
he stepped up and did what he needed to with the grandma request in general. So
hello.
I think we're going to be okay there.
Yeah.
Who sent the grandma request?
Hello, can you hear me? I'm just putting you on speaker. Yeah, Margaret, we lost her for some reason, okay. So I'm just turning.
Well, all right, well, we've got a...
One thing I was going to say, though, is that... I mean, I think they're still proceeding with ninth grade.
Correct.
And the facilities they're building would make it really easy for them to add high school. So we have to not be thinking that potentially, if they don't want to become a partner, that they're going to be a competitor.
Right.
All the way through 12th grade. And so it's not that we have to not want to have a good relationship, but we just have to know that that's a possibility and just try to do the best we can to... still compete for students.
It's what we'll do.
Yeah.
But we'll do it the right way.
Right. And there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of opportunity for partnership in the future. For example, and I think this is a great thing to say publicly in this meeting, is some of our students go to ACE Academy, which is in town, and that is focused on STEM, you know, the engineering and the math. And so we've got students who want to do that program and also the arts, and we have created a system to where they can spend the morning at ACE and the afternoon at Tuacon and be able to do both things. And so I've talked to, you know, I know that part of the narrative for Vista is that they're really going into robotics and engineering for the ninth grade, and that's the push and the focus is what has been told to me by their board and by their administration. And so I had a conversation just this week with Sam. If that's the case, and ninth grade is to grab those students who are interested in robotics and engineering, why can't they do half the day at Vista with their robotics and engineering teachers and come over? We've got buses. We're close. They could come over to Tuacon and do the art side of things. And we could also take care of, because we're already set up to do so, we can take care of all of their academic needs that then connect to the state, because we already have all that endorsement, we're accredited, and that would just leave them with being very focused. And so I think part of the purpose and core of the negativity was that we were competing. And in this letter I address that. We're not competing, we don't even have the same students. Those students end at eighth grade and they come to us. There is absolutely no competition whatsoever.
There doesn't need to be, yeah.
And so I think that was instilled in a small group of folks who believe that there was a competition and there's not. So I pitched that idea to Mr. Gibbs, and it's an idea that we've implemented here with a lot of success. We share the WPU. It's not a problem, but it allows, at the end of the day, this is not about me, this is not about any of our teachers, this is about providing amazing opportunities for students, which means if they want to spend half their time at ACE and half their time at Tuacon, then I will do everything I can to make that happen, because that's what the kid wants. And that's my job at the end of the day. So my hope is that they understand that and will provide that and communicate that as well.
Well said. Thank you. All right, we've
just booster.
We've got our Booster Club report, Kari.
All right, just real quick, just since the last meeting, just a few of the things that we've done. We've approved funding for a dance company trip, equipment, film project, improv trip, and a choir trip. We've provided concessions for improv events, the choir, guitar concert, and of course, here in town. Last fall show, we made about $100. During the concessions this year, we were at about $750.
Wow, nice work.
So we're very excited about that.
Yep,
Crane's crushing. We got our merchant account set up for a credit card reader. We're taking in about $200 a week on the credit card reader alone, and that's just one machine, so we're kind of excited about that. We purchased a money counter, because we're tired of counting ones, and a commercial popcorn machine, which should be arriving Monday, so when a big box gets here for us, that's what
we'll
it
throw a party.
You can set it up for us, okay? And have some popcorn. Then we also helped with Sadie Hawkins. Just going forward, a few goals that we have. We're going to meet as an executive committee the first part of January to hash out some things. We've noticed, and if you saw the picture, the same parents are doing everything, and that picture, you saw the parents that are doing everything. And we're concerned. We don't want to be one of those organizations that uses and abuses people just because they're willing and able. So we've been talking to them and talking to other parents and asking why they're not coming and why aren't they helping. And we're getting some good feedback. And the big thing is that they don't know what the expectations are when they come to volunteer. It's kind of like not having a clear job description. You know, you get frustrated if you don't know who you're reporting to or what you're going to be held accountable for. So we're going to get together and hash out all of those job descriptions for the executive committee, and also when you show up to volunteer, what is expected of you, who are you going to report to, you know, step-by-step kind of stuff. And so, yeah, we just wanted to be responsive to them and make sure they feel comfortable coming and volunteering, and we don't want to drive them away. We don't want to have anybody burn out by their third year, which is kind of what's happening. Then we also want to do a deep dive into the accounting with the vending machines, how we purchased a new machine with the credit card reader. We've also started getting our supplies from a wholesale supplier, so we wanted... The records haven't been real accurate, but we want to do a deep dive into those and see exactly how much better we're doing with the vending. Kind of try to project how much more money we'll have so we can have a better idea how to budget going forward. We've been carrying over a lot of money, we've discovered, and we're like, why? Because we just want to spend it on the kids. And so we want to have a better idea how much we have and where we can spend it. So I think that's about it. Also, in Salt Lake City, Monday night, if you're there, the choir, Mr. Lister's choir, is performing at the Assembly Hall at 6:30.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's great. I'll try to be over there.
You mentioned that you...
I would like to be over there for that. I think that'll work for me. That's fantastic. Great report. Thanks for your leadership. Really good stuff. And please let all those volunteers know how much we love and appreciate what they're doing for the students. It really is all about the students. That's what we're all working hard to pursue, is their best interest. So we appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
And Kareem's son was in Urinetown and did a great job.
I'm going to brag a little bit. Kareem has really taken the Booster Club and started to use data. How is it effective? How is it not effective? And we didn't have any tracking systems on what we were buying, why we were buying it. And so they're their kind of their own 501c3, and she has really worked hard to get a great group of people around her to be all student-centered. So it is part of that culture change that we have seen, and it is huge this year. Walking into an event and having parents there that are happy to be there with no alternative motives.
Did you see the Urinetown concessions? Did anybody see the pictures of that? We had a parent who took these water bottles, made lemonade, and took the labels off and put Urinetown labels on. And then she was mad because she missed the opportunity to call it Urinade.
But they sold fantastic.
I bet it did.
That was great.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Do we have any public comment, community comment? All right. Hearing none, we will adjourn. Thanks, everyone. Good meeting.